This morning's public reading is from the third gospel, chapter 2, Luke's gospel, chapter 2. You get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, the third gospel of the New Testament. Look at verse 21 to 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Okay? Now, Luke's gospel gives us more detail about the early years of Jesus' life with Mary and Joseph. And now he's going to give us another snapshot in the very early days of Jesus after he was born. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, quote, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, unquote. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, he should not die, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Please be seated, but remain open. So what's going on here? Well, according to the law of Moses, which God gave to Moses to give to the people of Israel, when a boy baby was born, 8 days after birth, he was brought either to the synagogue or to the temple at that time. And the rabbis were also surgical doctors, and they performed a procedure called the rite of circumcision. Now, circumcision was only performed on the boys because only they had the apparatus to perform circumcision. And that circumcision was a sign that this individual was a member of the nation of Israel. That's all it said. This child is a member of the nation of Israel. Now, we know that you don't circumcise women. They were also members of the community. But every male was to have the foreskin of his body removed on the 8th day. Something else was also required. After Mary gave birth, there was to be a certain time period where she would heal, like the average woman having a baby, whether it's normal birth or whether it's a C-section, you have the healing process for the mother. When that healing process was done, she also brought her child and herself to the temple, and they would offer a sacrifice for her purification. And in this case, if you look at verse 24, Mary and Joseph were so poor, that God made a provision for poor people. If you couldn't afford a cow or a ram or a sheep or a goat, which would have cost more money, you can bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, a very inexpensive animal, to be brought to the temple, to be sacrificed, to be put to death, shed its blood, to make the atonement or to cover the purification, on this case, for Mary. That was the guidance of the Old Testament. And yet all these sacrifices, which most Christians don't realize, all these bloody sacrifices in putting a cow or an ox to death, or a goat, or a sheep, or a lamb, or a turtle dove, or a pigeon, these were pictures of what Christ was going to finally do when he came. He would be the final and ultimate death and blood offering on the cross. And there are people today who are very upset with that concept of a bloody cross. Some people are so angry at God, get this, they say that God the Father was a sadist, and that was child abuse for God the Father to have his son put on the cross and killed in such a fashion. There are those who actually preach that God the Father is a sadist. He's a masochist. He enjoys pain and suffering, whereby he even had his son butchered on the cross. And that is a form of child abuse on the part of God the Father. Hideous teaching, but it's out there. I'm here to tell you, beloved, without that sacrifice that Christ has accomplished on the cross, no one would be in heaven, and we would all be in the lake of fire. I'm sorry. That's the truth, as it's revealed in Scripture. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Well, Mary and Joseph go to the temple to do what they had to do according to the law of Moses. And then they meet this old man, Simeon. Simeon was an old man, but he was a believer. And he was anticipating the coming of this Savior, this Messiah. And God the Holy Spirit had told Simeon, "Simeon, I got great news. God loves you so much, he's going to give you a special privilege. Before your eyes close in death, you're going to see the Savior." And so the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to dedicate him and to perform the sacrifice for her purification, God the Holy Spirit kind of nudged Simeon, "Go to the temple and see what you're going to see." And as Simeon was milling in the crowd, the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus, comes to him. And God the Holy Spirit says, "This is what you've been waiting for." And the Bible says that Simeon took the child in his hands, close to his bosom. And what is he saying? Look at verse 29. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen" what? "Thy salvation." Simeon was simply chomping at the bits. "Lord, I do not want to die before I see the Savior. Lord, give me this one privilege. Give me this one aspiration in life." And God said, "So be it." And so here Mary and Joseph go to the temple. The Holy Spirit nudges him, and only the way God the Holy Spirit can nudge. And Simeon goes to the temple. He sees the Holy Family. He sees the infant. He grabs that baby and hugs it close to his bosom and says, "Now let me die. I have seen thy salvation." And Mary and Joseph are like, "What's going on here?" Mary and Joseph really didn't fully comprehend what's being said. And then notice also verse 32. Notice where you and I come into play. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Jesus just didn't come for the Jews, though he was born a Jew. Jesus came for all of the nations of the world, you and I included. We are called Gentiles, non-Jews. Jesus came to lighten our world because we sat in darkness. We have seen a great light. What did Jesus say of himself? "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not wander and stumble in darkness anymore." He's the light of the world. But then Simeon makes a prediction about this child. Look at verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold this child." Mary, this baby that I'm holding right now is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Rise and fall. The term rising means to be saved, to be delivered. To fall means to be lost and to be destroyed. What Simeon is telling Mary is that this individual child, when he gets older and when he goes about his public ministry, Jesus is going to be the great divider of humanity. There are going to be those who see him as God in the flesh. And then there are going to be those who say, crucify him, crucify him, kill him. Jesus is the great divider of humanity. You talk about division. We hear a lot about race being, you know, races and all kind of genders now being divided up. You know, whites against blacks, Hispanics against the Puerto Ricans and this and that. Oh, beloved, I got news for you. Jesus is a great divider. There's only two type of people. With Jesus in the middle, there in the fork in the road, there's either believers or non-believers. And I got news for you. There's no neutrality. You cannot straddle the fence. To straddle the fence is a unequivocal no to God. You're either for the Lord or you're against him. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. You're either a saved person or you're a lost person. You're either on that narrow road or you're on the spacious road. Jesus is the great divider of men. But he is also the great healer and the restorer of men and women who've been battered and beaten by sin and by this world. And then he tells Mary something else in verse 35. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The day that Jesus was put on the cross, listen carefully, the night of the betrayal, when Judas comes to show the soldiers, this is the man that you're going to have to apprehend and haul to the priest to be judged. When Jesus was apprehended, the other 11 apostles fled. They fled. They left Jesus hanging. And see, that's why Jesus knows when you come to him and you feel as though the world and everybody around you has knifed you in the back and have turned their back on you, and you come to Jesus and you pour out that grievance to him, he knows exactly how you felt, because the night that he was betrayed, Judas betrayed him and the other 11 scrammed and ran. He knows how it is to be knifed. He knows how it is to be abandoned. He knows how it is to be simply given up by friend and family. When he was nailed to the tree, Peter wasn't there. Matter of fact, only one apostle stood at the foot of the cross, and it was John. But there was somebody else at the cross. Mary Magdalene, the one that he cast out 7 demons, she was there. But there was another Mary that was there, his mother. My son. She stood at the foot of the cross and saw a body, bloody, flesh hanging off his body, because the whip that they used was a cat o' nine, 9 strands of leather with glass and nails and metal bolts tied on the strings. And when they would whip that around the body, those 9 strands of leather would then wrap around, and then the Roman soldier would have to pull. And as you pulled, chunks of flesh came off the body. Did you know that? Parts of Jesus' bones could have been exposed. The Hollywood pictures you see have sanitized the cross. The closest thing is Mel Gibson's Passion. If you ever have the guts to watch that, that's as close as you're going to get to what actually happened on the day of his crucifixion. Simeon told Mary, a day is going to come when a dagger right through you. And that was fulfilled when she stood and saw her son, or what was left of him, on that cross. Came true. It came true. Well, beloved, we'll leave the reading off from here, and then next week we'll pick up the rest of the story, because the same day that Simeon comes, an 80-year-old plus widow shows up as well, named Anna. And she was also given the privilege to see the Savior before her eyes closed in death.